I'm really disappointed in the state of Maryland and in Baltimore City. They failed the school system utterly. Even with this new money, they said they're allocating this $1.1 billion. Mm-hmm. My question is, it's not how many schools you build. It's the quality of the teachers that you have. Okay, if the money is coming in and it's going to all these PhDs and all that doctors at the top level of the school system, they're getting all these high salaries. They're not on the front line teaching in these, you know, neighborhood schools. My concern is get the textbooks and quality teachers, get them bonuses where they deserve, because schooling became a battleground now. It's not like it used to be. It used to be, teachers thought it was an honor. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to teach school. Mm-hmm. You know.
Sure.
Now it's like, go to school to somebody carrying a gun or they whatever. You know, it's a whole different type thing. And not only that, that's the one concern. Not only that, it's the economy. People are out of work. If any governor is elected, and especially if I was, my top priority would be bringing jobs to Maryland. How would I do that? One step is to address the CSX railroad.
Mm-hmm. It comes through here, yeah.
The tunnels and mm-hmm. all that.
Sure.
This thing out there in Charles Village that
sure.
just happened.
The landslide.
Yeah. All these things, this infrastructure, the railroad, it's over 100 years old. And it's crumbling. Okay, you need all this stuff to be brought up to modernize so that the port, Baltimore,
it gets the freight to and from the port of Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Baltimore shouldn't be second to New Jersey or them other ports and ports and major ports. Baltimore should be number one port in the East Coast.
So you'd see a way to create jobs as improving the rail lines, improving the infrastructure. That's a way of creating
that'll
jobs.
Bring mm-hmm. more ship. You know,
sure.
whatever.
And it'll help create jobs.
More companies
sure.
that that their products are delivered by these, you know, through the port will move here to because, you know, they're easy access to, they can get their materials from overseas, you know, the different, you know, major port, you know, whatever. Right now, Baltimore's not considered a major port.
How do you pay for all that? For getting, you know, the infrastructure projects, and somebody's going to have to pay for that. How do you pay
for it? That's the problem. The reason why it hasn't been done so far, in which I thought Ehrlich could do it, but he didn't have, you know, whatever. But that's the major problem, getting the monies to renovate that tunnel that they had to fall in.
Mm-hmm.
To see. Well, what I would do is, my strategy, so I worked when I was in the Maryland Guard, I worked as a special military advisor to Governor Hughes and to Governor Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when Governor Hughes built the Camden Yards and the subway, I was an advisor on transportation, Chesapeake Bay, mm-hmm. and other matters in the Eastern Coast because I was in the Corps of Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then when Governor Schaefer came in, I advised him on the Raven Stadium and the light rail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what I would do in my experience. I know a lot of the major players that public servants that's in that, you know, in D.C. and whatever, and doing my military career. I will use some of the extensive knowledge and, you know, the insight that I know to get the core engineers and other organizations to come in and help with some of the expense of renovating the rail lines. Okay, you use private contractors, some use a mix, you use some private contractors, you use some government entities to come in and help you, you know, whatever you need to, the government gives you so much money or grant or something to help you do that tunnel,
mm-hmm.
then that's what you would do. The other governors didn't have this ability to reach across the board and you know, pull in federal agencies.
Sure.
You know, they wanted to, and I had to give Ehrlich credit. He did a lot,
mm-hmm.
and so did others. Well, I don't think the present government, I don't think too much of what he done, but
mm-hmm.
that's why I'm running.
Gotcha.
Okay. But definitely, now they're beginning to see it definitely has to something to be done with this. Something has to be done with the CSX rail lines.
Mm-hmm.
this collapse at Charles Village, that's been in the making for a long time.
A lot of residents told me that.
They knew it was coming.
Yeah, they knew it was coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what could they do? I mean, they didn't have the money. The same thing you just said. Well, how would you pay for it?
Right.
The government, they didn't have the money. They didn't have the know-how. They didn't know the right thing to come in here and get help to come in and help.
Tap the federal money and tap the private money in order to do that.
To help come in, you know, people to contribute. You know, you just can't depend on a private source.
Sure.
You mix them.
Gotcha.
You know.
Let me ask you this. Do you live in this neighborhood?
Yes.
Yeah, how has this neighborhood changed over the years?
It's beautiful around here, but it's since I've been here, I lived on Kenwood until 2003. I lived in Kenwood on the other side. Mm-hmm. It's done deteriorated. Not a whole lot. This is a beautiful neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, I see nice row houses and semi-detached
homes.
You only see.
This is the best of it.
Okay.
Okay, and this is one of the main reasons why I chose here. But if you go further that away, okay, then you see what's when.
Yeah, I was driving along there and I did see that.
Okay, on that side, you go on the other side, them houses there ain't nothing on the other side but graveyard. The graveyard is over in the graveyard. So ain't nothing over there. But there, but you go that way, and you see more of the houses that have been abandoned and boarded up in Venice. And, you know, they...
Anything you'd do to improve the situation if you were elected governor?
Well, I did a lot of volunteer work to improve. I was elected president, resident agent in 1992 of the Baltimore Housing... first it was named the Baltimore Unemployment Council.
Okay,
we was seen to help the resident to find employment and to seek training in building trades. So then we changed our name to the Baltimore Housing Developers Corporation, where we were put in by the city council. We were the resolution voted by the city council where this is before Bank of America came in existence. We approached them like 5 or 6 banks.
Mm-hmm.
Got a whole lot of money from the banks, the bankers association, to help improve the neighborhoods. Okay, we put on with this, we were like the charter organization for rehabbing the houses. Then we start reaching out and teaching other organizations around the city, West Baltimore, South Baltimore, or whatever, took up our model. Okay, we had a deal with through the housing authority that Building Trades Association. We sent them so many apprentices. We would send them so many people as apprentices. They would train them under the apprentice association: plumbers, brick masons, electricians, and so forth. The ones that required licenses. And once they graduated, they became apprentices.
Sure.
And then they would have an obligation to work for at least 2 to 3 years for our organization. Then they could go out on their own. Okay, this model was taken up by the Housing Authority also. They took our suggestion and ran with it. And in the process, though, this is where Kirk Smoke was in.
Sure.
But in the process, the money came in, was coming in from these banks, and Bill Clinton's provided the empowerment of his own money. You know, hundreds of millions of dollars, whatever, for the power was on coming into the city. And that's when the politicians took over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, instead of our hands were tied, but the mayor appointed his own guy to be commissioner at the time.
Sure.
And he was what he was. He was a politician. He was the mayor's campaign manager. Okay.
Sure.
He didn't ask. He says he had roots in a construction company, Ecclesials or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't really understand he understood commercial construction, but I don't think he understood housing.
Housing construction.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He understood how to build big buildings.
So you'd try to replicate what you did at the Unemployment Council statewide, I mean, to improve housing.
That was for low income, though.
For low income, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
creates jobs and improves housing.
It's yeah, like. Okay. You have a mix. It ain't all be low income. It ain't all be, you know, sure. Market value housing either. You know, it's going to be, you know, like a mix. Where feasible, you have low income. If people don't have jobs and not making any money, so you can't sell them a $200,000 sure. house if they ain't got no job.
Sure.
So you got to provide something, you know, in the lower income range. But where there's money to be made and people got jobs and they're willing to, you know, buy a house and pay $200,000, $150,000, then that's when you implement the market value house.
Gotcha.
Okay, so that's what how can I say this? These houses right here, they're one or two bedroom houses
mm-hmm.
at the most. None of these houses assess it more than, and in these blocks around here, mm-hmm. and in these blocks you go through, none of these houses assess for more than $43,000.
Mm-hmm.
They're not what you call real, upper market houses.
No, this is working class housing.
These houses are cracker boxes compared sure. to some houses like you go out into.
Yeah, in the county.
In the counties, you mm-hmm. know, like Columbia
sure.
and all, whatever.
Sure.
But still, you can make them, gut them, put new, bring them up to, the plumbing, the electrician, stuff like that. Make them, you know, comfortable. Most of these plumbers, the house right down here,
mm-hmm.
the lady was replacing a wall in her basement.
Mm-hmm.
Ran her water line coming from the curb.
Yeah.
So she noticed that the spigot, the handle turning the spigot coming toward the line coming from the curb, coming through her front window under the basement, was leaking while she was putting up sheetrock. So she calls the plumber. The plumber comes. Well, you need a whole new line from the main to the coming to your house.
Gotcha.
The city wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. The city don't do that. You have mm-hmm. to have a private contract.
Right.
Okay. The contractor come in and charge $3,500.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. The plumbers, these houses are like almost 100 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some of them, water line had never been touched.
Right.
Okay. So. It's little things.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really luxury houses, but they can be made to be upgraded. And then if a prospective buyer want to come in, you have most of the major things in the house upgraded.
Gotcha. Let me switch back. We'll talk a little some campaign stuff. I take it you're not. Are you taking campaign donations? Or are you paying for this all yourself? And how much are you spending?
Since I've been ran for candidate, they call me a perennial runner. That's what
Do you like that label?
Not particularly.
Okay.
But I just, it shows I'm persistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Persevere.
Uh-huh.
Is the word. Okay. No, I don't like taking campaign money.
Right.
Most people, incumbents, they see it as a necessary evil to get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I was to get elected, I don't care if I'm gonna serve but one term.
Mm-hmm.
I would do the best of my ability to straighten this mess out. And even if the people of the powers to be don't like me, the corporation, whatever, want to see me kicked out the second term, that's all. I'm okay with that. But most politicians get in there, they go in there with good intentions at first. They get elected. They promise the people of the world they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Mm-hmm. Then once they get in there, their main concern is getting reelected.
Gotcha.
And once their mind shift from serving the people who voted them in there to getting reelected, then they're going to start taking money from anyway. And once you take somebody's money, they expect you to do things for them.
Sure.
You know, and the whole campaign system, donation system is messed up. I think it was this is my opinion.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court made the decision about as unlimited contribution with the PACs.
The United decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally disagree with that. It's the Constitution, the Declaration say, the Independence say, if you're elected officials, it is a violation of the Constitution and the Declaration to accept money for office or do for anything that you do while you are operating under the colors of the United States or you elected in any office. But this whole campaign donation thing reverses that.
Sure.
You know, it's all about money.
Right.
It's not about serving the people.
I got to ask, have you been invited to, if not so much the televised debates, or maybe you have or haven't, or have you been invited? There have been a lot of community forums where Doug Gansler, Anthony Brown, Heather Mazier go and they speak separately to different groups, be it business groups, community groups, mm-hmm. clergy. Have you been invited to any of those?
I'm not a media darling. when I ran against Elijah Cummings.
Right.
In the 7th congressional race, this last term out.
That's when I remember meeting you, was the race for Congress. Okay.
Okay. So what happened was they decided, since I was the only one opposing him in the Democratic, I was the only one opposing Elijah.
Right.
The news media and the television stations decided, well, Elijah's the main front runner. Well, he's the only one that got a chance. His opponent don't have no chance, no whatever, so we're not going to invite him. Mm-hmm. They just invited Elijah all on the different shows, mm-hmm. and I was watching him. I was watching him on TV, speak on TV and all that. And, you know, I just didn't say it. Then they opened my mouth and say a word. They knew what they were doing. You know, they knew that, how did Mr. Kaufman say it? He's deceased now. He was a candidate.
I remember him.
He called it yellow journalism.
Yellow journalism, that's what he called it.
Yeah. Okay. So, we discount him because he don't know what he's talking about, blah, blah, blah. The same things that's going on now, these things are going on now. I said it as a candidate. Yeah. The housing, the mortgage credit collapse in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I said it in the race for the president of the city council. I said it then. It's coming. Mm-hmm. I said on Kyle Jackson interviewed me on 13.
Mm-hmm.
I said it. They interviewed me for the president. I said it was coming then. It came. He don't know what he's talking about.
Sure.
Okay. And sure enough, Wall Street. You know,
he saw it coming.
And making this comment for the news media blows up all these threats to the United States. Okay, terrorism, Al Qaeda, whatever. But there's no bigger threat than the United States than from a friend. Wall Street, then it brought the United States down to us. It brought it to its knees. Okay. Whatever started it, however it started, whatever country started that, they took it up at Wall Street, and the big banks cooked the books, I guess if you want to call it that. And it was just the United States. Danny had the bullet. Danny had the bullet. Danny got it. It was never so many people. People lost their pensions. They lost their house.
Mm-hmm.
They lost everything. I mean, these are middle class people that worked hard all their life to retire and have a good life after they finished work, left their jobs. Now most of them seniors had to. There's no such thing as retirement no more.
Right.
They had to go back to work. You're talking about people in their late 60s had to go back to work because they don't have no pensions. Don't have no savings. They don't have no house. They had the house, they couldn't, the mortgage, they couldn't keep the house.
Mm-hmm.
You got these people going back, going to these jobs and getting jobs like working at McDonald's. Just a joke,
yeah.
But that's basically what they're doing.
Okay. Anything else? Go ahead.
And it was entirely wrong. These people played by the rules. Did everything that the mom's apple pie and the white picket fence, and the three, they play by all the rules of, being responsible citizens, And then they get wiped out by greedy people on Wall Street. And the thing was, the government didn't do nothing to them. If a person off the street had went into the bank and robbed the bank with a gun, they'd had FBI, everybody all over them searching whether to arrest them. You got a person on Wall Street robbing with a pen, and they caused more harm than any bank robber ever could, just to millions of people. And government, SEC?
SEC.
They knew.
Sure. Sure.
They knew. They knew. Well, they knew 2001, 2003. They knew. They didn't know it.
And this is one of the reasons why Charles Hugh Smith is running for governor.
Yes, I feel that instead of putting campaign contributions ahead of public service or above, ahead of the people, the elected official should do what the people elected him to office to do. And that's to go there to represent the people. You know, and the people's concerns, the public's concerns, the people out here that are disadvantaged, not the poor, the middle class. Now they begin to talk about the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, they got their, they're going to be represented. Okay. But you got the people that pay taxes, the average person in the society pays taxes. And he has no representation because the person who he voted for put him in office.
Mm-hmm.
Once that person gets there, they forgets about the people that voted for him, and then the concern becomes big business and the corporations once they get in there, and how they can please them.
All right, we're going to leave it.